something. Okay. You know, it's something I've been thinking about doing and wanting to do.
I'm really not cut out to be an interviewer. And it definitely puts me out there, out of my comfort zone in a lot of ways.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's this is my way of personal growth, or I'm just stupid and I don't know much better than not to do it.
I think I mentioned that on my podcast once. That was like, I feel I've always been kind of an antisocial kind of a geek, you know. I don't like going out and meeting people. And there are times I'm sitting at like a breakfast buddy's where we're in a room like this and it's full of people and it's like, I'd like to interview somebody. And I'm like, I just don't want to interrupt anybody. I don't really want to go and, you know, but I made my decision at the next breakfast buddy. I'm not going to sit with the people I always sit with. I'm going to try to sit somewhere with a bunch of people I've never met before and try to meet them. And that's going to be an interesting experience. But
I kind of regret I didn't do more of that at MOGA, but there was so much there to do, I couldn't be everywhere. And you run music in the background pretty much throughout the whole thing.
That's something, I'm trying to play at the levels. Last time it was too loud. I found it was a little too hard to hear, so I have to try turning it down a little bit this time.
Okay.
I'm still trying to play with that. I've been doing it all along. But it was really, really quiet the first 8 or 9 episodes, and I've just tried bumping it up a little bit just to kind of help with the transitions. You don't hear the pops or the whatever, just to kind of help with that. And I think that it does help.
Yeah, I could do a better job of producing, too, but I can't do, like, Adam Curry data source code quality, where it's like, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I had to add the sound effects. It's like, oh, that was kind of cool. Oh, there's something else going on now.
Yeah. The only thing I think I can do sound effect-wise, if I don't go look for a specialized wave, is just if Jesse has like a tone. Oh. So I beep things out whenever somebody swears and they...
Heck, I should have thought about it. I could have purchased the CD of all my sound effects.
I think the reason that nobody likes to listen to me talk about the forums, at least up here, is because everyone reads the forums.
True.
So they're like, I'm on the forums every day. I know what's in the forums. I don't need to listen to you talk about the forums. Here's the interview. That's what I want to hear. I still like to throw a little bit of color in there, if nothing else. Looks like they're closing up.
Yeah, I was just waiting for them to say last call.
Exactly.
We got to remember that. You also got to work tomorrow.
Yeah, my brother's actually at home on leave from Iraq, so I'm going to be spending the day Tuesday with him. And we're going to the Twins home opener. And
oh, yeah. 'Tis the season.
Yep.
Sometime during the day on April 10th, as we were caching in the St. Paul, Minnesota metro area, we did a cache called Heritage Lab. We parked in a small parking area, noticing that a nearby groomed trail was covered in a lot of water. Frogs were croaking all around. As we headed for the cache, we captured some frog sound and had a short conversation with a guy walking his dog during lunch hour.
Did this area get a lot of rain?
It did. Yeah, we got a bunch of rain, a week or so ago, and then we had a lot of snow on the ground. It all melted at once. But a lot of it's melt, and a lot of it's just that rain, because I think we got a couple inches of rain. I'm not sure just when that was. Late last week sometime. Yeah, there's a lot of soft spots. Did you guys come around from this way?
Yeah.
We drove from this road.
Yeah.
Right there. If you go back that way, there's still some ice piled up for when the wind blew it off the lake.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
But it was like here. It was clear up almost to the road.
Oh, really?
It all came out at once, and the wind just blew it up onto the side of the...
So,
okay, well, have a good walk.
Trail goes all
the way. Actually, if you can just follow this road around, you can either... There's a Y right here. You can either take a left, and it just makes one big loop. You stay on it. It can't get lost.
Okay, actually, we're here at the cache site, and we see the geoflage. I know the cache is behind there. If not, I'd be very surprised. Little ammo box. Big one. There we are. The spoils. Pogopod. Xbox 360 lanyard. Originally placed on 10/16/05. It's fairly new. Last found 4/8/06. CB GPSers. Oh, on the poker run. Swung by while doing the poker run.
Howdy. My mosquito control guy just went by. Woohoo, he's here to save the day.
Elaine, my sister Barb, and I are in the kitchen of the house that I grew up in Luck, Wisconsin. We have the laptop running, and we are showing Barb all the pictures we took from our trip so far. Elaine does a good job explaining the geocaching pictures to Barb.
And then this, there was a cache at this place. It was a place that had a couple different historical markers. The cache was hidden in one of these little holes in this concrete thing, yeah. And then inside of the cache, when you opened it up to sign the log, it had a note, when you replace it in a different, because each one of those concrete pillars had a hole.
Oh.
It's, and the hider said, put it in a different one when you rehide it, so, you know, then it's always in a different one. Oh, and that one's the one that looked like a piece of trash out in the woods, but... It was a geocache.
Yeah. What is it? Like a bottle or something?
Yeah, it was like a peanut butter jar that they had painted the outside of it colors. And actually, Paul's holding it up there. It had a stuffed animal, a pig in it. So when he first opened it up, he saw the pig's butt. He's like, oh, there's pig's butt. And that was in Osceola. That was one of the... He found four different little caches, and each one of those had a piece of information for you to find the fifth cache. So that was the area where one cache was hidden. They cannot capture me except under a white flag. They cannot hold me except in chains.
Were they all in the same area, or did you have to go kind of far?
Two of them were right along the main strip in Osceola, and then the next two went out a rural road. And one of those was actually at her mailbox, the lady that placed those.
Okay.
It was at her mailbox. And that's why she said on the cache page, she said, if you have any problems, just come on down the driveway and knock on the door.
I bet you still don't see what we get out of the deer. Like, what? Why?
For me, it's just the enjoyment of going to these places and doing the hiking and whatever.
Right.
I don't do any of the logging. Are they writing the notes in there?
Right. But she does all the planning and
a
the navigation.
Lot of it,
So she's just as much as part of the team.
Right.
And she goes along most of the time, except when she's tired or exhausted.
Right.
Too big.
Oh, that was that Raccoon River or that other?
That was before that.
It was that one.
It was a state park. That's where we ended up putting the snow
travel.
Do you
have to pay to go in the state park?
Not in Iowa.
Not in Iowa, not in Missouri. Not in Minnesota. Wisconsin, yes. We would have had to pay any state park in Wisconsin, because we're not a resident, we would have to pay. The entrance to state parks and things like Missouri and Iowa are all subsidized by
taxes. Yeah.
The fun is still just, here's some coordinates, go out and find it and enjoy the experience, the journey.
Right.
That's the point. After a while, you get hundreds and hundreds of these.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've seen this container before. I've seen this container before. But, man, went to get there,
Right.
I got attacked by a hawk. And, I tripped and almost, fell into a gully. And
the adventure of it.
Yeah.
The name of that was Walnut Woods State Park. And this was one of the trees. I told Paul, stand by the tree to show how, because I've only seen walnut trees that are like this big around.
Yeah.
Oh, the swinging bridge one. That was a neat swinging bridge.
That was a neat swinging bridge. It was an awful cache. It stunk.
Yeah, see, all of this was swampy.
Wet.
Oh, yeah.
It stunk. And the cache was sitting in the water.
Oh, this was in Dow's, the place we stopped at the railroad.
Did you get pictures of that?
There's the railroad, the Welcome Center.
Oh, where the older guy was?
Yeah.
I bet you we didn't get a picture of the guy, did we?
Probably not. And there's where the cache was. It was hidden inside of this trunk. The clue was, if my luggage makes it on the train, you'll have to chase the cache.
Oh, okay.
But of course, when we got there and we started looking...
Right away,
I hear a knock on the window. The guy inside was knocking on the window and pointing... Look here.
Oh, like he was telling you where it was?
Yeah. I'm like,
later he said, I hope it's okay that I told you guys. I don't know if I'm supposed to do that or not.
And then this was inside. They had that train, this little train was from 1880-something, 1890-something.
Late 1800s.
And it was a wind-up.
Oh.
And he wound it up, and it...
Because it wouldn't have electricity.
Right. He said, you know, it still works.
Times.
And, well, I got a couple pictures of it going around.
I am so disappointed. I had audio of conversations with the guy in the historical depot, and during one of the evenings at the motel, I accidentally deleted the conversation.
We're not too far from Woodbury. They had pussy willows all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the last time I ever saw pussy willows. Oh. Well, I didn't know that.
You didn't know. I took a picture of you. That was one where... He pulled off on the one side of the road, and it was on the other side of the... It was just a two-lane, not a very busy road. And I sat in the truck and waited for him. Well, then I took a picture of him while he was down there signing the logbook, and there he is coming back across.
Yeah, we usually don't like to do caches where he looks suspicious and there's a lot of traffic going on.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to like, who's he? What's he doing? What's he supposed
to
do?
Right.
That one was hanging in a tree.
Oh, okay.
Pelican box is what they call those.
I think I looked at those one time, and they're not cheap. So I was like, I don't know if we really want to invest that money just to stick it out in the woods. Another okay. cache in a tree.
Another cache inside the hole in a...
Oh, okay.
It was along the edge of a park, and there was a hole through that telephone uh-huh. pole thing. That was a little bitty tiny one.
Oh, my.
All you could do was put your initials...
Oh,
that's
wow.
the only room for it. It was this big.
Wow. And what is it? Like a little pillbox or something?
Well, I don't know what they call them.
I think they're called blinkies. I'm not really sure what they're good for, but they're some kind of blinking lights that people have modified. They take the light out of it and then just use the case.
Here's the deal. I'm sitting out in the woods. Right where the Evergreen Heights cache was placed by Tactical Squirrel. Last found September 5th, 2005. I'm the next person to find it. Unfortunately, it was strewn all over the place. The logbook is still intact. There's a few trinkets, but most everything's chewed up. There is a top to it. The top's all chewed up. And there looks like a hole, like a gunshot hole, so somebody must have done target practice on it. I'll try to do a little bit of cache repair while I sign the logbook and get back to the truck. Lane decided not to do this one. She decided to stay in the truck because it didn't look like it was...
How's your progress?
Well, I'm here at the cache, and it looks like I can sign the logbook, but the whole thing was chewed up by animals.
Well, at least you found it.
Yeah, the important thing is there's a logbook to sign. I'm going to probably be here another 5 minutes or so, and then I'll head back.
Okay.
What time is it? It is 2:20, so I found it at 2:15. I have to cross back over the river, and this is about the same place I went last time. Whew! Actually feels nice. Soaking wet shoes.
This last audio clip needs a little bit of an explanation. My mother was a big influence on me in my life. A lot of what I'm doing with this podcast is reflective of her spirit and her encouragement to me when I was growing up. She passed away a year and a half ago with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She was very interested in writing poetry. Not far from the house that I grew up was a lake called Little Butternut. It was about 100 yards from the house. A few years ago, a couple of loons took up residence, and my mom took inspiration in them and wrote a lot about them in her poems. The last time that I saw my mom alive, I took all the poems that she had written and saved away, and I read them to her one by one. I felt that me reading the poems back to her was my tribute. And while I was in luck last, during the evening, I went down to the lake, and the lake was very peaceful and quiet. But you could hear the birds, and not only two loons, there were a lot of loons out on the lake. And I never heard the loons. So many loons communicate like this before. And so this final clip is in memory of my mother, her spirit.
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.